Jesus had predicted Jerusalem would be trampled by the Gentiles. Did you see that? Luke 21, 24, they would fall by the sword and would be taken as prisoners to all nations. Boy, I hope you're starting to see what I'm seeing. That the words of God can be trusted. He says, they will fall by the sword and be taken as prisoners. Scores and scores of people fell and spread all over the world. Most of them were sold as slaves.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In his message last week, Pastor Brian Grant tackled the basic question, why is the study of Bible prophecy important? As he concludes that message this week, Pastor Grant looks into three key questions asked of Jesus by his disciples as they stood amazed, looking at the temple in Jerusalem in the light of his dire prediction. First, when will these things be? Second, what will be the sign of your coming? And third, what will be the sign of the end? Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24 as Pastor Grant concludes this first message in the series, Where on Earth Are We Headed? Pastor Grant.
So Jesus finally got to the Mount of Olives and the disciples decided it's time for a talk. Jesus, it's time. Let's get this one sorted out. And so Jesus sits them down, and in verse number 3, the disciples sits him on the Mount of Olives and came to him privately. Tell us, they said to Jesus, when will this happen? When will this thing about the stones be? When is the temple going to be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Notice there are three distinct questions the disciples are asking, which gave rise to three key prophecies. Number one, when will the temple be destroyed? Number two, what will be the sign of your coming? And number three, what will be the sign of the end? Three major prophecies, and we're going to deal with all three of these prophecies today. When will the temple be destroyed? That's all we're going to talk about, the prophecy regarding the temple. Now, to get the details about what Jesus had to say about the temple, we're going to have to turn to Luke 21. Because in Matthew, it's not recorded for us. Some of you know that there are these, what you call the synoptic gospels, that deal with some of the same things. And you'll find that the Spirit of God caused that some of the gospel writers said, told you a part of the story, and another gospel writer tells you the other. So if you want to understand the total picture, you got to look at what all the gospel writers have penned. And Luke's gospel chapter 21 is where we find the answer Jesus gave. And just to help you realize it's the same story, look at verse number 5 of Luke 21. Some of these disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And they said, teacher, when will these things happen? Let's jump now. Just know that you see it's the same story to verse number 20. Verse number 20 of the same chapter, Luke 21, verse number 20. And Jesus says, and he's answering the question now. He says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its destruction is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, It's going to be interesting. I want us to look at the accuracy of this prophecy. Because here's why we want to go here. I'm going to spend a little time because as we set the stage and you see the detail to which Jesus' prophecies came through, because this prophecy is past. And when you see the details, you ought to realize that the same way this Jesus who gave so much details and they came to pass, you can bank on it. All the other prophecies are going to be fulfilled in detail. I'm going to give you 5 details of the prophecy. Number 1, Jesus prophesied the surrounding of Jerusalem. You saw that in verse number 20. He says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded. History records, I'm going to give you a little history lesson here. History records that in the year 66 AD, the Jews rebelled against Rome. And this gave rise to what's called the first Roman-Jewish war. Nero was emperor at the time. And some of you remember about Nero. Nero was the brutal emperor. The same emperor who had Christians dipped in oil and set aflame as human torches for his palaces. In response to the rebellion, Emperor Nero dispatched a huge army under General Vespasian to restore order. By AD 68, this is not coming from the Bible, this is coming from the history books. As I said, the sovereignty of God, this sovereign God is able to tell us history in advance. I'm now telling you what historians tell us about what actually happened. So in AD 68, Vespasian had restored order, and now he moved from the northern part of Israel and he had Jerusalem surrounded. And Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, you know the desolation is at is very, very near. Jerusalem is now surrounded as Jesus had predicted. Now, there is something very interesting that I don't want you to miss. Because verse 21 prophesies about an escape. Did you notice that? Verse 21 says, then let those, when you are surrounded, he says, that's the time to run. Did you see that in your Bible? Now, how would they run now that they're surrounded? You ever thought of that? We were on our vacation. It's interesting how God brings things to your attention. We were on vacation and just a couple weeks ago, and we went to Bath, England. We weren't going there, but one day we got up and we decided to go down to Bath. And there in Bath, an interesting thing, there is a spring, a natural spring that comes from the surface of the earth. A heated thermal bath. It's bubbling from the surface of the earth. And what is amazing about this, it's amazing the Roman architecture, that the Romans in AD 60-something had built this, had found this spot, because of course the Romans had captured what we now know as England. And under Roman rule, they discovered this fountain bubbling from the surface of the earth, and they turned it into a major place for not only healing, but to worship some of their gods. And of course, so here we are at Bath. Before I left, I had started studying this message, and I ran into this General Vespasian. And to be honest, I don't remember ever hearing about Vespasian. Here I am at Bath Fountain. I'm listening to my, these electronic things that tell you what's what. And as I'm listening, I'm standing beside this statue, and it says, to your right is Emperor Vespasian. Can you imagine? I'm like, what? Vespasian? I never even heard about this man until I started reading in this for this past to study this thing. And here I am. I'm not standing beside General Vespasian. I'm standing beside who? Emperor Vespasian. I said, whoa. So how in the world did that happen? Well, how in the world that happened is part of the answer to the prophecy. Now, here's what happens. So how did they escape if the place was surrounded? Well, guess what happened? AD 68, as I told you, Jerusalem is surrounded. And that very year, Emperor Nero became the first Roman emperor to commit suicide. His death started a civil war called the Year of the Four Emperors. Each guy who had power was now killing the other. And guess who got into the fight? Guess who got in? General Vespasian. So what did he do? He leaves Israel and he takes off for Rome. The battle is on hold. Can you understand the detail to which Jesus has come? Jesus has said, when all this thing is surrounded, at that moment when it's surrounded, that's when you're to run. How in the world did they run? They ran because the military battle was put on hold. And history tells us that a lot of folks fled. A lot of people fled at that very moment while the battle was put on hold. How in the world did Jesus know this would happen? Because he's the sovereign God. Amen? But third, not only the prophecy details the surrounding of Jerusalem, not only does the prophecy detail the escape, but the prophecy details the destruction of the temple. So what happened? You said, Brother Brian, you just told us that the battle was put on hold. Yes, it was put on hold. And eventually Vespasian became the emperor and he dispatched his son Titus. And that's why some of you have heard that Titus was the one who destroyed the temple. Well, you see, really, Vespasian was the one who started it. He surrounded it. He left. He dispatches Titus to finish the job. And he finished the job. It's interesting, though, on this note. Here's what was interesting. The historian Josephus tells us that Titus had given an order not to destroy the temple. When you really put all of this together, you're saying, what an amazing God that Jesus here, the Russian emperor has said not to destroy it. But Jesus had already decreed what? That the temple would be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened. Fires that were burning the city went out of control. The Romans could not put the fires out. And so eventually everything went into the temple. The temple was burned. And then there's more destruction, which I'll talk about a little bit more. Boy, I tell you, aren't you glad the person you put your faith and trust in is Jesus, who knows the future? That's why I know that I've got a mansion in heaven. Amen. I know that I have a mansion in heaven because Jesus said, I'm going there to what? To prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come. Listen, this is a Jesus who knows history before it happens. That's the type of God we're talking about. How in the world the words of the emperor could not be held because Jesus had already said the temple will be destroyed.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of a complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Hello, this is Elder Leroy Jackson. A 6-hour seminar on how to share your faith with Jewish, Muslim, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and others will take place on May 9th at Germantown Christian Assembly. This special event, Evangelism Explosion, consists of workshops that provide both formal and practical training in presenting the gospel. This is a marvelous on-hand training in real aspects of soul winning. First the training, then the witnessing, all on the same day. To find out more and sign up for the seminar, go to livinggodsway.org.
Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
The Bible, the history tells us that there's absolutely nothing left of the temple. The historian Josephus tells us that the temple was so destroyed that if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know it was ever there. You hear what I'm saying? It's so gone. It's so gone that if you didn't know it was there, you would not even know it was ever there. It's so gone. You say, but we hear about the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. Do you know the Wailing Wall and the Western Wall was not a part of the temple? Do you know where these things come from? Herod, I learned a lot myself. Herod had flattened Mount Moriah for his expansion, and he had built 4 massive support walls to hold the whole shall I call it, plaza up. So he flattens out the mountain to get more space, more room for this incredible building he's doing. And he actually puts all these supports under there. And this wailing wall was not a part of the temple complex itself. This is all support under structure. Absolutely nothing is left of the temple. Not one stone is left upon another. So how was it that not? How? Well, of course, we know that the soldiers, once the fire burns, did its damage. Soldiers did their thing to destroy this holy place of worship for the Jews. But here's the other thing I read. When the temple burnt, there was so much gold and precious stones in the temple that they said the intensity of the fire caused all the gold to melt. And guess where the melted gold ran into? It ran into the seams of the stones. Can you imagine if you're looking for gold, what you would do? You don't have to go gold with your little sieve and your little pan. All you gotta do is move some stones. There's gold in them stones. Are you getting it? There's gold in them stones. And so they actually went to work dismantling, removing stone from stone to get at all the gold. But at the end of the day, there was absolutely nothing left, not one stone upon another. But fifth, Jesus had predicted Jerusalem would be trampled by the Gentiles. Did you see that? Luke 21:24, they would fall by the sword, would be taken as prisoners to all nations. Boy, I hope you're starting to see what I'm seeing. That the words of God can be trusted. He says, they will fall by the sword, would be taken as prisoners. Scores and scores of people fell. And the historians tell us over 100,000 Jews were taken from Jerusalem and taken captive and spread all over the world. Most of them were sold as slaves. The Jews were scattered over the world. And we know in every single country, in every nook and every cranny you go to, do you notice there's a Jew? Jesus said they would be scattered all over. In our little country, Jamaica, they're there. I'm sure they're there in St. Vincent. I'm sure everywhere we have gone, they're there. They have been scattered. And not until 1948 was there something in some of your generation, not mine. I ain't that old. In 1948, something big happened. United Nations created the reformation of the Jewish nation, and Jews started trickling back from Russia and all over the world, and now there are several million Jews living in Jerusalem and in Israel. And I want you to suggest to you that something is happening, that after 1900 years of dispersion in our time, a significant shift is happening. And I'm telling you that this is suggesting God is moving forward with some other parts of his program. And we'll get to those in the upcoming weeks. But suffice it to say, this prophecy came through to the detail. But then he said it's going to be trampled on by the Gentiles. And from AD 70 until now, Jerusalem has no longer been a Jewish city. This proud Jewish city is no longer a Jewish city. And as some of you know, where that temple, that beautiful temple stood, what is standing there? The Dome of the Rock, a Muslim temple, now sits on this spot where this incredible temple stood. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to know that this place is going to be trampled on by the Gentiles. When we were there, we heard a very funny story, but I thought of that this morning. Not only was it trampled, do you know, up until our lifetime, in fact, right now, it's about 45-55. It's almost evenly split. Jews and non-Jews living in Jerusalem. And in our lifetime, not only was it At one time, it was under Muslim rule, and then at one time, it was under joint, so they had the city split, and there was an actual line drawn down the city. One side was under Jordanian rule. The other side was under Jewish rule, and a nun was in a building. I think it was a convent, and the convent, this is a true story, the convent was right on the line, and so she was in this convent, and she was doing her morning, or whatever she was doing. I guess she was brushing or whatever, and she might not have put on her fixident quite as yet. Is the fixident the one that holds the thing in together? But anyway, I guess she hadn't put it in yet, and so here she was. She's at the wall, the door, the window's open, and she sneezed, and her teeth fell into Jordan. Can you imagine that? She was in Israel. Her teeth landed in Jordan. That's how close the thing was. So they had to get, true story, they had to get the United Nations to get her teeth back. And you should have seen them at the border crossing. All the soldiers, the Jordanian soldiers and the Israeli soldiers at the border for the handover of her teeth. But you understand, it might be a humorous story, but does it highlight for us exactly what God is saying, what Jesus was saying? He's saying that the Jerusalem is going to be trampled down on by the Gentiles. He says, until what? He says, until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. I know I tell you there is a time that the time of the Gentiles, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in his glory, he's going to bring at the end of the tribulation. And next week we're going to touch on that. And next week we'll talk a little bit about the mark of the beast and the battle of Armageddon and some of these things that you wonder, what is the Bible talking about? We're going to talk about some of these things next week. But when that time comes to an end, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come to earth in power and great glory, and that will be the end of the times of the Gentiles. So you say, Brother Brian, you told us a lot of history this morning. Why did you do it? I did it to help you realize, if Jesus said it, bank on it. Can you say that with me? If Jesus said it, bank on it. One more time. If Jesus said it, bank on it.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.